I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you say the 2000s or the noughties, it feels like it was just yesterday. But the start of that decade was almost a quarter of a century ago. The digital age of music consumption had fully taken hold, and the music business was a completely different animal. Here we go as we run down our top 10 songs from the noughties. But first, here are the top 10 selling singles from that decade in the UK. So, at number 10... it was Can We Fix It by Bob the Builder, 980,000 units. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? At number 9, it was Pure and Simple by Hearsay with 1 million sales. At number 8, it was That's My Goal by Shane Ward, 1.07 million sales. At number 7, Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie, 1.09 million. At number 6, it was Do They Know It's Christmas by Band Aid 20, 1.1 million. At number 5, it was Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke, 1.19 million. At number, what was I on? Number 4, Is This the Way to Amarillo? Tony Christie, 1.2 million. At number 3, for 1.24 million sales, it was Shaggy, and It Wasn't Me. Wasn't me. Oh, that short was sweet. At number 2, it was Gareth Gates, 1.3 million, with his version of Unchained Melody. And the number one best-selling single in the UK in the 2000s was Anything Is Possible or Evergreen, 1.79 million sales, Will Young. Make it evergreen. So there you go. It pretty much tells you in the UK we were all dealing with Pop Idol and all that kind of gubbins going on, because the majority of the people in the top 10 were all from pop stars and everything. But anyway, we're going to try and work out our top 10 songs of the noughties. And I'm very happy to say we have a Patreon top head with us. I have seen her, but now I can't. We will explain that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Hannah. Yay!
Hi. I'm waving.
I know. I've got it in my head now that you're waving. We've had a few connection issues. So unfortunately, on YouTube, there will be a lovely picture of Hannah there instead of seeing her talking and doing whatever. But anyway, Hannah, it's lovely to finally say hello and meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm nervous. And you can't see it, but I'm wearing a t-shirt with Rex from Toy Story that says, I'm a nervous Rex.
There's nothing to be nervous about. The one thing about it is all of your decisions are absolutely correct, because it's your top 10. So it doesn't matter, you know, whatever you think, well, that might be a bit dodgy. It doesn't matter. Now, the other thing I'm going to be interested about, now, the top 10 that I just gave you there of the top 10 best-selling singles in the UK, have you heard of any of those people? I mean, probably Kylie you've heard of.
Yes, and Bob the Builder. And
obviously Bob the Builder. But the other ones, I take it you wouldn't have heard, you don't even know who any of those are.
No, I mean, I recognize some of the songs, but not any of the names. So.
Right, because again, the sort of start of the 2000s was when Simon Cowell and that took over with all of his talent in... what are they called, quotation marks, talent shows, and it kind of just every Christmas number one, every top song was all from this manufactured pop kind of TV show. So it was the one thing when we said we were going to do this, I kind of thought to myself, I'm going to be way out of my comfort zone here, because that's as far as I'm concerned, the first decade of the 2000s was just nothing but that. But then when I looked into it, there were some great songs in this decade, especially the ones that I saw. Did you find it hard putting your top 10 together?
Yes. I told you earlier, I was 10 to, well, 19, I guess, 2009. So that's a lot of like my childhood. And I made a playlist like after looking over, you know, what was popular then, and it was over 200 songs.
Wow.
And I literally, until like an hour and a half ago, I had 13 songs on my top 10, and I was like, I have to narrow these down. And they're not all the ones I think I would have thought I would have picked when I first was like, oh, okay. But there's some on here that I was like, oh no, that's for sure going on there. So.
And how did you do? Because I noticed that it was things like the Foo Fighters, the Killers, a lot of them had some like really, really big songs in the early 2000s or in 2000 to 2009. Did you sort of look at it and go, right, I'm going to have one song from that artist and that's going to sort of define my favorite song of that era? Or have you got a couple of songs from the same artist in your top 10?
No, I don't. Right. I did have two songs from an artist that didn't even make the top 10 playlist that were in the top like 15, and I took them both off because I was like, oh, I like these better. My list is eclectic because my parents listened to country, and then the only reason I kind of listened to pop was if it was on the radio when we were like getting ready for gym. And then as I became a teenager and drove, it was kind of like emo, you know, alternative rock. So it's a mixed bag.
is that what your music taste is normally, just a mixed bag, or was it just this decade?
No, it's always a mixed bag. I think the only type of music I don't really like is like screamo. Like pretty much everything else I like.
Right, because the one thing I think I've always said is I just cannot get into rap and that kind of and hip hop. I say it very English tonight. I say it very hip hop. I say it probably the most uncool way you can say those two words together, hip hop. But everybody, especially people on your side of the pond, it's like everybody loves that kind of music. I've never met an American that doesn't like, you know, rap or hip hop. It's just something that just is ingrained in you. Is that the kind of thing with you as well?
I do like it, but I mean, I'm pretty particular about what kind of rap or hip hop I like. I definitely lean more towards like pop and country,
right?
Just because that's kind of what I grew up with. But there's some that I like. In fact, there's one on my list.
Oh, is there?
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of feel like you're going to take me to school today, Hannah. That's what I kind of feel. A because you're way younger than I am. So I think you're going to introduce me to some stuff that I may have never heard that will go onto my ever added list of things that I need to sort of do my homework on. So I'm kind of more interested in your top 10 than I sort of was in putting my top 10 together, if that makes any sense.
It does. Yeah. I feel like people are going to listen and go, how old is she? Like some of these songs like are definitely like, I was a teenager when I loved these and I still really like the song now. Like some of them when I listened to that, I thought, oh, I'm gonna put that on my list. I listened to it and I was like, ooh, I don't have the same feelings about that I did then, so I don't love it as much as I did, you know, 20 years ago.
Okay. So I must admit as well, I've got a couple of album tracks in my top 10 as well, because they're songs that I just absolutely love, and they just happen to be from this particular decade that we're talking about. So I may introduce you to a couple of songs that you've never heard before, as well as the other way around. I definitely feel I've got a couple of pretty English songs here. Whether they've transported over to the US, I'm not sure. But anyway, let's kick off, Hannah, with your number 10.
My number 10 is You're Not Sorry by Taylor Swift.
Oh, Tay-Tay!
And
oh.
It's the CSI remix.
Ooh.
She was on an episode of CSI and they kind of, I don't know, made it a little darker. I don't know. I really like it, though.
Really? I wonder if it's... Right, so I will try and play it, play the songs. But, oh, yeah, I've got it. It's there, right? Let's have a little listen to that then. I love this song.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this. I mean, I've got a Taylor Swift song in my top 10. Of course I have. Who wouldn't at this particular, this decade? And I'm going to have to listen to this. This is something that I've never heard before. So we're going to have a little listen. This will go on the playlist, obviously, for our Patreon subscribers. But so was she in CSI?
She guest starred on an episode. Spoiler alert, I think she gets killed during it.
Oh no.
And then and then they do play this song, like, I think it's when they're arresting the person that killed her. It came out in 2009, so that was how long ago it was that I'm surprised I remember that much of the episode.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to have a proper listen to this then, because I absolutely love this song. Reminds me, and I can't remember what's the name of the band that had the apologize song. What are they? Oh, see, I do this and people scream at their devices because I'm so stupid. I'll put these things up and not know who it is. I'm gonna have to look at it now. And
I know I turned my phone off too, so it would interrupt, so I can't even quickly Google it.
One Republic.
Okay.
And this song always reminds me, for some reason, I think it probably is that apologize, is it just reminds me of that. But what a great song. What a great way to start. Straight away, Taylor Swift, there we go. We might as well just stop now, Hannah. We've done Taylor Swift, that's it. That's all we need to do. But that's a great one. And so I take it then that hasn't been on any album, that particular version. That's just a special CSI remix, was it?
Yes, and I think I can download it on iTunes, but I don't believe it's on an album. It might be, I don't even know if it'd be a bonus on an album, because the album actually came out before that version was released, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. I've learned something new about my favorite person already. So anything else now is gravy, as we say. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Okay, my number 10, I'm going to go with an album and a song that just sneaks in at the start. It was released in 2000. It's from the album All You Can't Leave Behind from U2, and it's Beautiful Day. So this album, I don't know if you've ever heard this album. It's a great album. It's sort of one of the last great sort of albums of U2 that is really good all the way through. And this was the first single that came off of it. And it's a very joyous, great song. Are you a U2 fan, Hannah?
I like U2, and I do recognize the song. I recognize it when you said the title. So,
is there any particular sort of phase of U2 that you like? Are you sort of someone that's sort of like, oh yeah, I like their hits?
I like the hits.
Yeah. I can see that. I'm very much into, again, because of my age, it's sort of like I'm more Zoo TV and that kind of era of U2, whereas a lot of my friends who I know who are mad on U2 love the really early stuff. But they the one thing about U2 is they always, a bit like Prince, they seem to change just the way they looked. I mean, maybe not their sound so much, but if you like one U2 song, I think you like pretty much all of them because they've got that particular sound. But yeah, that's a good one for me. I'm having that one at number 10, Beautiful Day from U2. So, Anna, your number 9 then, please.
My number 9 is The Climb by Miley Cyrus. And it's from the Hannah Montana movie.
Right, okay, right. I'm gonna have to have a listen to this one because I'm not big into it. So is this under Miley Cyrus or is this under Hannah Montana?
Should be under Miley Cyrus.
Right. I feel like I should know this one. I'll know it when I get. Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
It's just very inspirational. I don't know. Even now, not just as a kid.
That's right. So. Is this part of your love of country, or is this more of pop?
I don't know. It's kind of a mix. I don't know. I just really like the song. Like, even I wouldn't even care what genre it's in. You know.
Right. And are you, have you, I'm assuming that you were a Hannah Montana fan.
I did like Hannah Montana. I did not like when I had a job and people would call me Hannah Montana.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I watched it. I mean, I wasn't like, oh my God, it's Hannah Montana. But yeah, I really enjoyed watching it. It was good.
Is that what happens when all of a sudden, like, someone that's got the same name as you becomes, because I can imagine all the Karens in the world. I think Ali and Bean have spoken about this on Cup of Tea in the chat, haven't they? Where it's like, you know, and now everybody that's called Karen, you look at them slightly differently than you would have done, you know, maybe a decade or so ago.
Yeah.
So did you genuinely, like, when Hannah Montana became big, you thought, oh God, here we go. This is going to be a nightmare.
It wasn't that bad. It was just like one or two people when I actually worked at Little Caesars, and they were like, come on, Hannah Montana. I'm like, don't call me that. It's not my name. Like, I don't know.
But
it wasn't terrible.
Would you get good tips because your name was Hannah?
No.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. It doesn't work then, does it?
No.
But yeah, I mean, that's a great tune. That's a great tune. I must admit, I'm not a massive fan of Miley Cyrus. I don't know why.
Yeah, sometimes I think her voice can seem, I like her, but it can be a little whiny sounding.
Yes, I agree.
And there are some songs that I really like, and then there are some, like, it comes on the radio, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know whether or not it's because of my love of Tay Tay that everything else just sort of pales into insignificance, and I don't really look at anything else. It's just Taylor or nothing kind of thing. But that's a great one. Another good one. Okay, my number nine is from 2003, from the Get Born album, and this is Jet, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Now, I'm not sure if this was a massive hit in the US.
Oh, I know this song.
Do you know this song?
Yes.
This is a song that I don't know. Every time I hear this song, it just gets me going, because it's just got great energy. Great guitars in it, and it's on loads of adverts. It's used like loads of times in adverts and stuff, but it's such a good song. Was this a big hit over in the US?
I don't know if it was a hit, but I for sure know it and really like it. Yeah, I don't even think I realized this was in the 2000s.
Yeah, 2003. I mean, I can only ever remember this, and they did a slow sort of song. I can't remember. Look What You've Done, I think it was called. It was another great song. But I never heard anything else from them. It was just those two songs. Australian, I think they were. An Australian band. But it has a real sort of dirty 60s kind of vibe to it, you know? Like, just the guitars are really overpowering and crunchy, and I love that kind of stuff.
So, I think that's probably why I didn't realize it was from the 2000s. I thought it was earlier.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I mean, to be fair, because, like, I think their video is in black and white. I mean, they dress like they come straight out of like a Rolling Stones concert. You know, they just have that kind of look, and the Kinks, that kind of look. So you could easily look at it and think, oh, yeah, that's straight from the 60s. You know, it's that kind of vibe, if you like. I can't pull off these kind of words, you know, hip hop and vibe. I just can't pull those kind of words off, Hannah. Give me some tips. How can I make myself cool enough to say those words? I don't think I can do it.
I like vibe, the way you say vibe's do good. I think with the hip hop, you're just very pronouncing your P's. I think that's what it is.
Do I need to say it like it's one word? Hip hop.
Yes.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Is that right? Hip hop? No,
that's
like Hugh Grant. I just don't seem to. I'm not posh at all. But as soon as I try and say hip hop, I just sound like Hugh Grant for some reason. Oh, it's a lost cause, Hannah. It's a lost cause. Okay, that's my number nine. Let's move swiftly on to your number eight, then, please, Hannah.
Okay, my number eight is "The Impossible" by Joe Nichols.
Okay, that is definitely one I've never heard. It's Impossible by Joe Nichols.
Yes, it's country. I don't know. I just really like the song and kind of the story behind it.
Okay. And can you tell us a bit about Joe Nichols?
He's a country artist. He's got a good voice.
I mean, is this like old country or new country? I mean, obviously it's new country because it's in the 2000s, but it's, and I don't even know why I say that, because I don't know what the difference between old country and new country is, to be fair.
I would say this is like inspirational country, like kind of a mix of like, I don't know, like gospel-y, like the story in the song is like, just makes me like, I don't know. Just makes you kind of feel small and, you know, anything's possible.
Oh, so, right. Okay. Okay, so now I've heard there's a lot of people that I've spoken to that love country, okay? Now, I love people like John Denver, and would you class, is Glen Campbell classed as country?
I would say yes.
Yeah, so if I wanted to get into sort of more up-to-date country, as somebody like you, you're an aficionado of country, what would you say is a good entry point into country as a like artist to choose,
like from right now, or yeah, like, or Joe Nichols?
So Joe Nichols is one. Okay. I would like to listen to some like good country music. Is it Luke, who's the guy that's like the big at the moment that did Fast Car?
I think it's Luke Combs.
Now he's supposed to be really, really good as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I like his songs. I feel like a lot of the new country today is, it's a little more poppy. So I definitely prefer like the 2000s country, like Brad Paisley, and well, Shania Twain was 90s, but like Toby Keith and like Brooks and Dunn. So like I like 90s, 2000s country more so than today. I don't know. It's not as country today to me, but
right. It's more,
I still like the songs. They're just not.
It's more pop than country then.
Yes.
Okay. Right, Brad. I'm gonna give those a bit of a go, because I fancy trying to really get into that kind of stuff. But that's a good one. Okay, so The Impossible, Joe Nichols at number 8. My number 8, here's where I sound really posh, even though I shouldn't do, because this is like one of those really cool bands. So I'm going for Hey Ya by Outkast from 2003. Oh, now obviously it's not Hey Ya, but I love...
Is this the Polaroid picture?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just something about this. I've never listened to the album. I think this is the only Outkast song that I know. Didn't they do... What's the other big one that they had?
Let me look it up. I
have turned
my phone back.
You can turn your phone back. Oh, I can't remember. But this song, the video, it's just so good. It's such a good song. From the Speaker Box and the Love Below album. This was the one song I thought, oh, well, maybe Hannah might have this in her top 10. You know, this might be one that she might get in her top 10.
It was on my list of 200 songs that I listened to, but it's not in my
top. That's not bad then.
I think, is it Miss Jackson?
Miss Jackson, that's right. That's the other one. And the thing is, I always look at it like I've never listened to another Outkast song, okay? But if you look at it from percentages, I've listened to two of their songs and I like two of their songs. So they're batting sort of 100% now. I should really listen to more of their stuff, because at the moment, I like everything I've heard of theirs. So the chances that I will like more of their stuff is like pretty good, I would think.
Yeah. I kind of miss, I pay for Apple Music, so I just, you know, download a song at a time. I kind of miss going and buying a full CD and listening to the CD through, because, you know, then you get to hear everything.
We've spoken about that so many times, that the thrill of the excitement of walking into a shop and coming away with a physical, whether it's a CD, I mean, even CDs are classed as old fashioned now, but a CD, yes, or an album, and then rushing home and to be able to listen and having to listen to it over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's something that the kids of today just, that they'll never get that, because everything is at their fingertips. They can listen to anything they want to. And it makes me feel like and sound like an old fart by saying that, you know, back in the good old days. But it was...
I agree though. I'll
say it's a shame. It's not a shame, because again, if I want to listen to any song, I have Apple Music as well. And you can listen to any song you want to listen to. And it's great, because like I say, the songs that you've put on there, this Joe Nichols, I can go and listen to everything he's ever done. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And it's not going to cost me a penny to do it. But yeah. At the same time, that physical... And I always loved the fact I could have all my CDs up on the shelves and you'd see them all together. And it's just, there's something about physical content, you know, that you can have just tangible in your head, and the covers and reading the lyrics and all of that stuff. Oh, it was yeah. Wonderful.
I bet I have 2000 DVDs.
Right.
And I mean, none of them are in the case. They're all in like the old CD cases that hold like 400. And my husband's like, just get rid of them. We can watch that on streaming. And I'm like, until they take it off streaming, and then what?
That's the other thing, is that they keep taking stuff off of that whether it's Netflix or Disney Plus, all of a sudden it'll go. And then, like I say, if you've got the physical copy, you can watch it anytime you want, whereas other people are stuck with what they decide they want to take on and off. Completely agree with you there. Okay, so that was my number 8. So on to your number 7 then, please, Hannah.
My number 7 is When I Get Where I'm Going by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton.
Okay, that's another country one, I would assume.
Yes, it is. Most of my country are like, shouldn't be bottom 10, but they're in the bottom of my 10.
Okay. And that's with Dolly as well. Goodness me. Mm-hmm. Can't get much more country than Dolly, can you?
Nope.
So this is Brad Paisley, yeah?
Yes.
Right. See, I've heard these names, some of the names that you listed as well earlier on, I've heard of them, but I wouldn't know a single song of theirs if it came up and slapped me on the face. I just haven't got a clue, but... See, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, we've had a couple of close family friends that passed away this week. So listening to my 200, I'm like, oh, this, like it hits me more right now than it might have, you know, a couple months ago. So I'm like, yeah, it's got to be in my top.
Because I think one of my favorite country songs is Annie's Song by John Denver. And I just like, anytime I hear that song, I just has a lump in my throat. For some reason, yeah. And I think the country songs seem to be very emotional, don't they?
Yes, I would say the really good ones are. Not that other ones aren't. They're just when you get a song and you just like get goosebumps, like listening to it. Like that's, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to delving into my little bit of a country vibe. As you, I'll see if I can get away with that one. I'm going to keep vibe in my dictionary, but I'll leave hip hop out, I think. And hey, yeah. Right. My number 7. Now, I had to have a Killers song in because I love the Killers, especially their sort of first 2 or 3 albums. They did one of the greatest ever Christmas songs with Christmas in LA. I love that song. I mean, there are so many different Killers songs. Mr. Brightside obviously should have been and could have been. Now I've gone and forgot every other Killer song, but I'm going for When You Were Young from Sam's Town 2006. And I can remember, and I think if I'm right, this was the first single from the album, because this was the album after like Mr. Brightside and like their breakout album, if you like, especially in the UK anyway. But again, I mean, as a live band, I've never seen them physically live, but obviously seen them when they did Glastonbury and things like that on the TV. They're just so good live. They're just one of those bands that like have, it sounds exactly like the record, but with a little bit more energy. Now, I don't know whether you're a Killers fan, but how are you on the Killers?
I've heard a few of their songs. I don't know a lot about them. I know who, like, I mean, you said the Killers. I know, like, I recognize the name. I just, I'm really bad about artists and music. Like, I'm like, oh, I recognize that song. I like that song. And then I don't know who sings it. Or I recognize the band. I couldn't tell you who's in the band, which is, you know, sad, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I'm the same as you. My love of music is it can be anything, you know. If I like a rap song, I mean, I like a couple of Eminem songs. I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan of his, but like Stan and Lose Yourself and things like that, I think are great songs. So it doesn't really matter who does it. If it's a good song, it's a good song for me. It doesn't, I don't, as anybody will know listening to this podcast, my song, I'm not cool when it comes to my choice of songs. I'll gladly listen to a Barry Manilow song as well as a Metallica song. So it doesn't matter to me as long as it's good. And I think
I would say I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm probably not cool with the list I pick, but they're the ones I like. So
yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, Hannah. But the trouble is like you always get people that would talk about, I mean, I'm not a Foo Fighters fan and I'm not a Green Day fan. And I'm, but then again, I've never really sat down and Pink Floyd, don't get me started on Pink Floyd and people like that. There's some bands I just don't get, but they are massive. Pearl Jam's another one. Anybody I talk to from America, they go, you don't like Pearl Jam. It's like I've spat in their face or something, you know? Do you like Pearl Jam?
I don't know that I could tell you one of their songs. Like, if I look it up, I might be like, oh, yeah, I recognize that. But, like, I can't list one off the top of my head.
I feel that we are kindred spirits when it comes yes. to that. I really do. I really
do. A bunch of people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, I'm skipping this. Exactly. They don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly. But, you know, not if everybody was the same, the world would be boring, wouldn't it? So
yeah,
that's the way I look at it. Okay, then. Right, your number six then, please, Hannah.
My number six is When I'm Gone by Three Doors Down.
Okay. Now, I've heard of Three Doors Down before.
Okay, so the number one song I wanted to put on this list was Kryptonite, and it came out in 1999.
Oh, so I was like, dang
it. And I think it's by Three Doors Down.
Okay. Now, did Three Doors Down do a song called Here Without You or something?
I think they did. Let me look.
I think that's the if that's that's the song that I
they
think
they did.
Yeah,
I think that's their, the song. It's like their number one.
Was it? That's the and song that I know of theirs.
Yeah, it was on my list of 200 songs, but this is the one that I ended up picking.
Okay, and so what is it about this song that you like?
Just I don't know. It gives me those feels when I listen to it. You know, just hold me when I'm here. Just like love me while I'm here, love me when I'm gone. Just, I just like it.
Okay, I mean, I've never heard this song before, so I'm gonna have a listen to this when we finished.
Yeah, I'm starting to get up into my alternative rock stuff that I like. So
yeah. Because the other thing, I think I've said this before on the pod, but when you think of the hundreds of thousands of songs that are out there. And like there's songs that I will never hear, never listen to. But my favorite ever record that I've ever heard, I may well have never heard yet. Which when you think about it, that's quite sad with the fact that like there might be your greatest 3.5-4 minutes of music is something that will never, ever, you'll never come across.
That kind of makes me like think, oh, that's one of the reasons I'd be jealous of, Ali and Bean, like, being on the radio listening to so much stuff, like, they know so much about the artists. I'm like, I'm just over here like, I like the song. I don't know anything else.
Yeah, but I'm a lazy listener as well. I couldn't just go and spend a day listening to stuff that I'd never heard before. I always tend to just listen to stuff that I love anyway. I've got a bit like Neil, I've got a playlist on that I just, when I hear a song that I've never heard that before, I haven't heard it a long time, I'll whack it on my playlist and I'll just listen to that playlist over and over again, which is lazy because then I'm never going to hear that song that is my favorite song that I've never heard yet, because I just don't listen to, I should go out and just listen to everything and I don't. It's
there's only so much time in the day too.
That is true, but it's kind of, I don't know. I'm making myself feel depressed because I'm not listening to every song that's ever been written. It's just impossible.
I don't know that you could at this.
Exactly.
I mean, how much of your life would you literally have to spend listening to do that?
Exactly. And I don't. I haven't listened to Led Zeppelin. I haven't listened to all of Pink Floyd. I haven't listened to like all of the Rolling Stones albums. So let alone anything that's new or. A little bit like I would never think of listening to a Three Doors Down album. I mean, I might do after this, but I haven't before. So, yeah. You know, maybe Three Doors Down have got the song that I think is the greatest song ever.
Yeah, if I find a couple songs that I really like and, you know, realize it's the same artist, I'll go and listen to a bunch of their stuff. I was watching Graham Norton and he had Paloma Smith on. I'd never heard her sing before. And I loved it so much that I downloaded like every album she had at that point. And it was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of randomly catching something and kind of diving into it for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's point in case with Taylor Swift. I mean, I was so against Taylor Swift because I listened to what Ralph Garman said about her. That she was Tadolf Swindler and you know, you should hate everything about Taylor Swift. And I was like, yeah, I'm a Ralph Garman fan. So I completely agree with what Ralph Garman says. And then started listening to a couple of songs. And I thought, actually, that's not bad. Well, it was Folklore that did it. I listened to Folklore and I thought, what a great album. Let's have a little listen to some of her. And I thought, oh my God, what have I been missing? And then when all of the Eras Tour stuff came out, I thought, oh my God, this is, and I was just, you know, everything about her now is just makes me cry, which is stupid. It's ridiculous. 54-year-old man crying like a baby at Taylor Swift. I can't believe I just said that.
She writes her own stuff, so it's, you know, it's personal. That, yeah. I think that's different than a lot of other artists that, oh, I just got this song from somebody. Like, you're feeling kind of what she's feeling. And I mean, she's like a year older than me, so all of her songs that came out, like, I was feeling that as a teenager, what she was, you know, this person doesn't love me. It's too late. Like, I'm crying over them. You should be with me. Like, you know, so I'm very, very on the Taylor Swift train. I mean, I don't know that I would say I'm like a stan, but I love Taylor Swift.
But that's also universal feelings. I don't think it matters how old you are.
Yeah.
You always have those feelings that somebody has broken your heart or somebody out there is somebody that you want to be with and you're not. My wife's listening. Obviously, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know,
previous.
I know that was... Yeah. All those years ago, maybe. But it's, I mean, yeah. We're having a Taylor Swift love-in. I apologize, everybody else. As if she's not everywhere else anyway. We're never going to 2000s. But anyway. Okay, so my number six, this is a band that you probably haven't heard of. In 2006, this was the first song off of their brand new album. They hadn't done anything for like 10 years because they'd split up. And this is Take That. Have you heard of Take That, Hannah?
I have not.
Okay, so they were a massive boy band in the 90s in the UK. And then they split up sort of, I think it was about 96, something like that. And then they came back in 2006 and Patience was their first song that they had back. And it is just a great tune. And I wasn't really a fan of Take That when they were really big because they were like a boy band and it was something that, not being sexist, but all the girls, you know, love Take That. And but when they came back, they were obviously 10 years older. And their songs were a lot more grown up. And this album, Beautiful World was the name of the album, has some great singles on it. And when I'm going out and about and doing, I do my little bits of singing and stuff, Take That as some songs, especially the later Take That sort of 2006 on, are great songs to sing because they're just good songs. And Patience was the hit song, well, the first hit song from Beautiful World, 2006. So I'm having that one as my number six. This is the bit where it feels like a proper radio show when I fade the record down. It always feels like I'm, you know, and now on Radio 2 or whatever.
And I'm taking notes of what I need to, like, go and listen to. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Let me go listen to that.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know what you think because, like I say, their sound was a lot more grown up when they did, like, in mid-90s. It was very sort of high energy pop that they did, and then a few ballads, just like what boy bands did. But then they had a lot more of a grown-up sound when they came back in 2006. But yeah, that and The Circus is another great album if you fancy, and also Progress, because one of their guys, Robbie Williams, have you heard of Robbie Williams?
I don't think so.
No, he was he's again massive in the UK. Went and lived over in LA because basically nobody knew who he was, we could get away from the paparazzi and things like that. He left the band sort of, I don't know, a year or so before they actually finished. And then he came back during the Progress album. And that was the first time they all came back together. And again, great album. Such a good album.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, so we are halfway through, so it's time for this.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
So we're going to do the quiz. Now, this is a little bit different, okay? I had a little look. I did some research, and I found some band names from the 2000s, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a band name, and you have to tell me if that band name is a real band or if it's false.
Okay.
Okay? So the band is either going to be real or it's one that I've made up. Okay? So this might tell you a little bit about my state of mind when I was doing this. Right. Are you ready? So we've got 10 altogether.
Okay.
And here is number one. So the first band from the 2000s, Diarrhea Planet.
I'm going to say that's fake.
That's actually true.
Oh, that was, no.
That was a real band from the 2000s, Diarrhea Planet. Okay, number two, The Rancid Kittens.
I'm going to say that's real. Oh my God.
I made that one up. Okay.
That sounds better than Diarrhea Planet.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Okay, number three, My Left Foot Is Bigger Than My Right. Is that true or is it false?
I'm gonna say true.
No, it was false.
I'm doing great.
I made that one up as well. Okay, number four, Eccentric Toilet.
I'm gonna say false. I feel like I'm wrong.
No, that's true. Okay, number five, The Birds Are Spies. They Report to the Trees. Is that a real band name or is that false?
I'm going to say it's real.
Yes. Well done. Hannah's on the board. Okay, number six. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A, start. Is that true or false?
No, I think that's false. Isn't that the cheat code for Nintendo?
It is a cheat code, but it is also the name of a band from the 2000s.
That is a ridiculously long name.
Having that on a t-shirt is going to cost you a fortune. Absolute fortune. Okay, number seven, Apple Cider Aftershave.
I don't think that's real, but I actually kind of like that one.
It's correct. It is false. I made that one up. So we have, there you go. We can start a country duo and we'll be called Apple Cider Aftershave. How about that?
Okay.
There you go. Okay. Number eight, Natalie Portman's shaved head.
Oh my God. I hope that's false.
That is true.
These are awful.
That is true. Imagine them playing at Glastonbury. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, Natalie Portman's shaved head. No, that is true. Number nine, The Cross-Eyed Creeps.
That sounds like a legitimate band name. I'm going to say true.
That was false.
That's,
I've done
the
well
ones you made
these
up are better.
They are unbelievable. Okay, and the final one. The final one. Okay. Frightened Rabbit.
I'm going to say it's real.
I made that one up as well.
Wow. 2 out of 8. I am.
Two.
I'm
so you great. Got, yep, 20%. So what ones did you get? You got, I can't remember which ones you got now, but you got two. That's better than zero.
Yeah. I didn't get blanked. So.
You didn't get blanked. Absolutely. Oh, dear. Anyway, I must admit, when Neil and I and a friend of ours, Loz, we used to do a Thursday night like radio style show, and that was one of the things I used to do. I used to do these games where I'd make up things, like names of things, and I think I've got a little bit of a talent for making up a band. I mean, the Rancid Kittens. I mean, why there isn't a band name called the Rancid Kittens?
I think you should just start charging people. Like, hey, do you need a band name? I can come up with some cool ones because those are better than the other ones.
My left foot is bigger than my right. Come on, imagine seeing that up on a billboard. It'd be amazing.
My left foot is bigger than my right.
Oh, is
it? It is not by much, but a tiny bit.
The fact that you know that is crazy. I mean.
If I try on shoes, I try on the left first.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a whole like half size or anything, but it's enough that I'm like, it's a little bigger.
There you go. Look, see, ladies and gentlemen, we get to find out so many interesting facts about our guests. It's unbelievable. Okay, back to the job in hand. So, Hannah, we need your number five, please.
Okay, my number five is Somewhere Only We Know by Keane.
Ooh, I know that one. So why this one?
Okay, so I heard this song on the first cruise I ever went on. They had like a channel that played music videos and I was in the room, just had that on. And I was like, oh, I really like this song. That's the only way I found this song. And I mean, I would have been 13, 14, and I've really liked it since then. So,
and have you heard any of their other stuff, or is it just that one?
There's another one that I've heard of theirs that I liked. Let me see if I can find it. What was it? It was probably Everybody's Changing, but right, those are probably the only two that I've listened to.
Right. Have you heard the piano version by someone called Lily Allen?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it was on a Christmas advert for some supermarket or something. And she did like a stripped back, you know, a lot of these people do stripped back versions, just piano.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's really, really nice. It's a bit more slowed down, but it's such a lovely version. But this is a great song.
Yeah.
Absolutely great song. Got a great voice. He's got one of those voices that as soon as you know, when he's singing, you know who it is.
Yeah.
Such a unique voice. But that's a good one. I've actually got one that I know of yours, which is great. But yeah, good tune. Good tune.
Thank you.
Okay, now my number five now, this is a song that I've had in a top 10 before due to the fact that I can't remember what year we started doing it, but myself and my kids, we made a video to this song. And we decided that every 10 years, we're going to make the exact same video.
That's and so cool.
So we've done it. We did it the original time. And then we did it 10 years later. And we're going to obviously, I think it's going to be another 4 years. And then we do it again. And it's so weird. I find it very emotional. This is Grace Kelly by Mika from 2007, Life in Cartoon Motion. And I'll put it on the video playlist because I've got the video, and it is just, I was in tears making it and like editing it, because seeing my kids from being, I don't know, this is obviously going back another 3 or 4 years now, but it was a very weird experience. But this is a great tune. I don't know, have you ever heard this, Hannah?
I don't think so. I'll have to watch your video though. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, I will put it on the video playlist because I'm sure I've got it up on my computer somewhere. It's a great album. Life in Cartoon Motion is great, and this is just a real quirky, what's the word? Like almost like it should come from a musical kind of song, and a very dramatic and tongue in cheek and stuff. But it's a great tune. But it always has a very soft spot in my heart because of seeing my kids, like when they're, well, my girls were sort of, oh God, I think they must have been like early teens. And then seeing them again when they're like 20, 21, they're doing That's the same so cool. movements. And my little boy, who at the time was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9. And then all of a sudden he's like 6 foot tall and he's 19 with stubble. And it's just, it's mad. It is absolutely mad. But I'll put it on the video playlist for our Patreon.
That's probably such a great memory for them too, like, and getting to look forward to doing it again.
Well, I mean, the thing is also is like the last scene, I mean, I've got my granddaughter in the original, her little feet are just tapping because she was just a little baby.
Aww.
And then when it comes to the final scene, there's like 2 more grandkids that come in and start dancing. So that is going to just grow and grow as we do it the next time. There'll be 2 more grandkids that we've had since then. So it's just going to become this room full of people for that final one. I mean, you know, let's hope we can do a few more versions of the video.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Oh, dear. Okay, your number 4 then, please, Hannah.
My number 4 is Bring Me to Life by Evanescence.
Ooh, right. Talk about dramatic.
Yes.
Now, this, did they ever have, I'm assuming they had more hits than this, because this is the only song I know of theirs.
Yes, I think when that came out, I think I was reading up, because I was making sure everything was in the right years, that song debuted in the Daredevil trailer, and then they released the album,
which
was pretty cool. Yeah, I have several of theirs that I like. I like My Immortal, of course, I can't remember the rest of them.
That's the way it goes, Hannah.
Going Under, Call Me When You're Sober, Everybody's Fool, Tourniquet. I really like a lot of their songs.
Yeah, I will say that this is the only song that I know of theirs. I mean, again, it might be one of those things that when I listen to other songs of theirs, I think, oh, right, that's them as well. You know, it might be songs that I know.
Yeah, but I really like her voice. What's her? I think her name's Amy Lee. See, this is how bad I am. I'm like, I don't remember the name of the.
Oh,
like,
join the club. Join the club, Hannah. I'm doing that all the time. Yeah. It's terrible. It's so embarrassing sometimes when you have to call people mate all the time because you can't remember their names, you know? And that's just my wife. I'm only joking. I have her name tattooed on my arm so I never forget it. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, it's a great tune. Yeah. Great tune. That's okay. Okay, so my number 4, again, probably not a band have you heard of the band Feeder?
Nope.
No, so this is from 2002, Comfort in Sound, and this is Just the Way I'm Feeling. Feeder, a UK like guitar band, and Comfort in Sound, again, is another great album. It's got like every single song on that album is just a top class song. Not really much more I can say about it. One thing I would say about Feeder is there's a lot of, they're not massive in this country, but they've got like a very loyal following. And a friend that I work with, who's been on the podcast, Leon, he's a massive Feeder fan and goes and sees them sort of live every time they're out on tour. But this, I can't think of any other albums that they've had like sort of lately, But then I'm not really a massive Feeder fan. I just love this particular album. One to add to your list, Hannah, is probably the best.
I did. I added it to my list.
if you like guitar music and stuff, it's got some great stuff. Some of their other earlier stuff was great as well. But this was all about the fact that they lost their drummer. He passed away, and it was all about like losing him. And nearly every song is all about that. And it's just some great stuff on there. That's my number four. So over to you then, Hannah, with your number three.
My number three is Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Hey, I know this one. Okay, so why?
I just really like that song. I know it's from 8 Mile, and I haven't actually seen that movie yet. And I have several Eminem songs that are on my, you know, that list of 200 songs from the 2000s. But that was the one I liked the most. Just, I don't know. Just really good.
So was that the first, I mean, I'm assuming he had stuff out before 8 Mile, didn't he?
Yes.
Was he a massive star before 8 Mile, or was that the sort of thing that made him a massive star?
I think he was. I think 8 Mile probably brought more people to him. I'm pretty sure he was fairly popular before then, but you know, I was a little kid, so I don't know that I would really remember, because this is one I probably heard on the radio in the locker room versus you know, my parents listening to it. So
and is Stan before or after this?
I am not sure.
Sorry, I'm asking you all these questions where I could look on my iTunes just as quickly. I apologize, Hannah.
That's okay.
You're not here to do research for me. I should know this stuff.
I can pull it up if my internet wants to. Oh, no, I do not want to play a song.
Oh, I shouldn't be asking you those questions, Hannah. I apologize. I really
it's do. Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've already said, like, with Eminem, if it's a good tune, it's a good tune, and that is a great tune. It really
Stan
is.
Was before it. Oh, they had Dido in that.
It did. Yes.
There were a couple of Dido songs that were on my like original list. Like, this was in the 2000s because that's when I heard it, and then I looked it up, and it was like the 90s. I was like, dang it.
That was weird because I was looking at some of Dido. I mean, I used to. The first couple of Dido albums were like really, really good, and I thought that they were 2000s, but I can't believe that they're that old.
I know.
It's crazy. It's crazy where time goes. It is. Let's not get started on time. Goodness me. But that's a good one for your number three. My number three, again, I think they're just a UK. Phenomenon, or they were in the early 2000s, The Darkness, and a song called I Believe in a Thing Called Love from 2003. Now, I don't know if you know these at all, Hannah.
I don't think so.
Right, so
the title of the song sounds familiar, though.
Right. These were a band that were like, so the lead singer, Justin Hawkins, it's got this amazing voice. It's very sort of Freddie Mercury-ish, if you like. But he always wears these skin-tight leotards with his like chest hanging out. And they did great rock, like good sort of 70s rock music, but with a little bit of humor in it. You know, there's a little bit of... like a twinkle in the eye, like they're just winking at you a little bit, you know, but they are so talented as a guitar band. They are just, again, Permission to Land is the name of the album. That was their first album. Every single song is a banger. Every single one. And they were massive in the UK in like the first sort of in that decade. Had a couple of albums, like big albums out, and then they just disappeared. And uh-huh. Justin Hawkins had a lot of personal problems, and now they've sort of come back now, and he's doing podcasting as well and YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. But such a good album if you ever fancy rocking out.
Okay. I recognized the chorus once it got to it. I've definitely heard it before.
I'm pretty sure it's been in a couple of movies as well. They've used that song in a couple of movies. I'm sure they have. I don't know which ones, but that's that. So I Believe in a Thing Called Love from The Darkness at number three. So what's your number two, Hannah?
My number two is What I've Done by Linkin Park.
Okay. I know a couple of Linkin Park songs, but I wouldn't say I'd know what their titles were.
Yeah, I really like Linkin Park too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess I really like alt rock, which is fine.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I don't think I ever realized it till, you know, I was picking songs for this playlist or my top 10. I was like, oh, these are so good.
It's the fact that you're sort of being very apologetic about it. It's sort of, you know, it's almost like you're saying sorry that you like alternative rock, and there's no reason to.
I just don't think I ever realized how much I liked it until I was making the playlist. I always was like, oh yeah, I really like pop, I really like country, but I'm like, I guess I really like other stuff too.
Yeah,
like this list was so hard.
I must admit, I think that's better that you, because it means that you're more accepting of all kinds of music, whereas if there's somebody that is a massive hip hop fan, that they kind of like, that's all I like, and that's all I'm going to listen to. I think if you kind of just like songs, you're open to listening to anything, aren't you? And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just like music. If it makes if a song gives me those goosebumps, I'm like, yep, this is going on my list. Let me see what else this artist has done. Maybe they got more like that.
Yeah. Now this is the band that the lead singer passed away, didn't he?
I don't know.
Oh God, I asked you.
Isn't it I should have done Chester, more research.
Chester Bennington, was it? I'm pretty sure that's the name.
Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington. That's right. Because he was a big friend of like Kevin and Bean, wasn't he? I think he used to go in and see them all the time, and that was something that hit him really hard when he passed away. But yeah, sorry, bringing it all down again. I apologize, Hannah. I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, that's a good tune. That's a good tune, though. That is a good tune.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your number two. Okay, my number two is a song from somebody that you admitted a while ago that you'd never heard of. So this is from Robbie Williams. This is an album. Track from his 2005 album Intensive Care, and this I've been a big fan of Robbie Williams right from when he sort of kind of left Take That, went solo. He became massive in like the early to mid 2000s, had a little bit of a dip, and then has sort of come back with some great stuff, not so great stuff. This song is called King of Bloke and Bird. This was the last song off the Intensive Care album, and it is it's my favorite Robbie Williams song, and it's beautiful, and it's hard to explain. There is 1 second of this song that I absolutely love, and it's hard to explain because it's just the way that the hi-hat is hit on the drums. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds now, because none of this is going to make sense. It's just something, the way, you know, you said about how music makes you feel.
Yeah.
Apart from when I'm driving, if I ever listen to this song, when it gets to that second of that music, I close my eyes, because there's something about the way that hi-hat just makes that sound. It's just one of the greatest 1 seconds in music, as far as I'm concerned. It's crazy. I'm talking like a madman.
No, I completely get it. It's on my list now, because now I definitely have to, you know, listen to it.
I need to, yeah, I was going to wind it on, like we're playing on tape recorders. Oh, God. To that moment, but we haven't got time for that. We just haven't got time for that. But there you go. There's another one to add to your list, Hannah, just in case. Okay, before we reveal our number ones, Hannah, do you want to give us a rundown from 10 to 2, and then I'll do the same.
Yes. You're Not Sorry, the CSI remix by Taylor Swift. The Climb by Miley Cyrus. The Impossible by Joe Nichols. When I Get Where I'm Going by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton. When I'm Gone by Three Doors Down. Somewhere Only We Know by Keen. Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. Lose Yourself by Eminem. And What I've Done by Linkin Park.
Wonderful. And mine is number 10, Beautiful Day, U2. 9, Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet. 8, Hey Ya Outcast. Number 7, When You Were Young, The Killers. 6, Patience by Take That. 5, Grace Kelly by Mika. 4, Just the Way I'm Feeling by Feeder. 3, I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness. And 2, King of Bloke and Bird by Robbie Williams. So, Hannah, what is your number one song of the noughties?
My number one song is Toxic by Britney Spears.
Way! Got about a bit of Britney. Got yeah. to. Oh, great tune.
It definitely makes me, every time I hear it, I think of being a teenager and like, you know, jamming to that song. So it's just very nostalgic.
Now, take me back, because I mean, obviously Britney Spears was massive once she sort of late 90s.
Yes.
Hit Me Baby One More Time and Oops, I Did It Again. Was she still at the very top when this came out? Or was this, I can't remember whether this was like a comeback kind of song for her. I honestly can't remember.
To me, she was still at the top because I was a huge Britney fan.
Right.
Like I had a Britney wall with posters and like I had the inflatable couch that said Britney Spears on it.
Really?
So, I mean, I loved that. Like anytime she had a new album out, like my mom would go and get it for me. So I love this song. I wouldn't know if it was a comeback or not, just because I was just like, Britney.
Right. Right. And was this your favorite? Is this your favorite Britney song of all time, or?
I don't know. That's a great question. I would say it's definitely like top 5.
Right. Maybe that's the next top 10 that we do is top 10 Britney songs.
That would be so much easier. I will do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, she's done some great stuff. Some really good pop songs. I mean, Hit Me Baby One More Time is just a classic. Oops, I Did It Again is a classic. There's just so many. And she did she did like a slow song and I can't remember what it was called.
Was it Every Time?
Yeah. I think there was that one and there was another one as well. Anyway. We'll do when we do the top 10 Britney songs. we'll get through them. Great stuff though. That's a great song, really is. Ah, oh, we love a bit of Britney, don't we?
Yeah.
I must admit, I mean, I follow her on Instagram, but she does scare me because she does is like dance and look into the camera and just she looks a little bit like a mad woman sometimes.
I concur. Definitely, as I was an older teenager, I still love her music. I don't think I idolized her as much. And now as an adult, I'm just like, I really think that you need some actual help.
She needs help.
Yeah. I'm not saying somebody should take away your freedoms again. I just, some legitimate, you know, medical, mental something.
They just looks like pain behind those eyes. Doesn't they?
Yeah.
Just when she's looking at the camera and she's doing those twirls and stuff and it looks just not quite right. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so you started this whole shebang off tonight, Hannah, with You're Not Sorry by Taylor Swift. So I'm going to finish with the one and only Taylor Swift and I'm going to have... I think this was an album track. This is Breathe from the Fearless album. And it says featuring Colby Calais. So I'm not sure. I'm assuming that's who's doing the background vocals and who wrote it with her. When I did my top 10 Taylor Swift songs with Bean and Robin, this, I think, was like number 7 or 8 in my top 10. I think this would be my number one Taylor song now after listening to it so many times. I absolutely love, and I'm seeing her in June at Wembley, and I'm kind of fingers crossed. I will lose, pardon my French, I will lose my shit if this is one of the two surprise songs. I've already told my kids, because I'm going with two of my daughters, if she plays this, I am just going to cry my eyes out.
pass out. He'll be okay.
It would just be, because I already know I'm going to cry. And if she plays this song, I'll just be like just a blubbering mess in the stadium. So, but it's just beautiful. There's nothing I can say about this song that I haven't probably already said before. And this to me is exactly what Taylor Swift does. She has simple chords that anybody could play this. If they know simple chords on the guitar, they can play this. But it's, I don't know, there's something that she does with all the songs that she sings and writes are all sort of simple chords. But how she can make each song sound completely different and have different emotions to it. And, you know, one can be like a country sort of song. One can be a real dancey song, you know, cutting edge sort of dance stuff. It's just unbelievable what she does. It really is. And it's Taylor Swift. That's all I'm going to say, you know. I mean,
she's very good at, you know, portraying emotions and feelings in her music. That's one of the reasons, like, I love her stuff. Like, she, you know, as a teenager, after not dropping Britney Spears, but once Taylor got popular, I was at Target getting that CD as soon as it came out. So, just, yeah.
We can't wait for the new album as well, which will be coming out in April. So. We got a couple of honorable mentions. Maria Pereira said, Foo Fighters, Times Like These, In Your Honor, and The Pretender. I'm seriously restraining myself from just naming off their whole discography from the noughties. Green Day, American Idiot, the whole album, but this song especially. The Black Keys, Countdown, Johnny Cash Hurt. Oh, I forgot about that one. Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood, Franz Ferdinand, Darts of Pleasure, Bad Religion, Sorrow, The Killers, All These Things That I've Done, Arctic Monkeys, I Bet That you Look Good on the Dance Floor, and so, so many more. Can't wait to hear this episode. Steve Vigors Evans says, Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, one of the best intros ever. And Kareem Pastor says, this is a hard one, but here are a few. Best of You, Foo Fighters, Mr. Brightside, The Killers, Last Night, The Strokes, and The Diary of Jane, Breaking Benjamin.
Oh, I did have Breaking Benjamin on my 200 playlist, and it wasn't just Diary of Jane, there were some other ones.
Really? But I've never heard of them at all. Breaking Benjamin.
If I'm not mistaken, they're like a Christian rock band that I love their albums, and Skillet is the same, and a bunch of their stuff. If it could have been like top 30, really? But that's not the name of the podcast.
No, it's not. No, and we've got all our merch sorted out now, Hannah. There's no way I'm going around and changing all that. It's going to cost a fortune. But no, that's fine. Well, there you go, Hannah. We've done it. We've sorted out our top 10s. I'm pretty sure that mine would change next week if I just, now that I know that Johnny Cash hurt, I didn't even think about that one because that probably would be in my top 10. But there you go. So all we can say now, Hannah, is thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much. It's a shame that I couldn't see you, but, you know,
I'll take a picture of me in my nervous wreck shirt. You can use that one.
That will be perfect. Absolutely perfect. Before we actually say the proper goodbyes, if you want to get in touch with us, email us. All the information is in the show notes. If you want to be like Hannah and you want to be a guest on your own episode, then please come and join the Patreon. It's patreon.com/top10pods. Loads of other rewards and all that kind of stuff. Everything else for getting in touch and different ways of contacting us, go to the show notes. Everything is in there. Hannah, thank you so much again for your support. You literally, with your help, you keep our lights on. So thank you very much. And then we'll sort out a date for top 10 Britney songs because that's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
And I'll try and work out top 10. I don't know what I do for the quiz for that. But if the least that we can do is we'll sort out our own festival where the Rancid Kittens, My Left Foot Is Bigger Than My Right, Apple Cider Aftershave, well, that'll be us two singing. Yeah. We'll be doing our country stuff. And the Cross-Eyed Creeps will also be there as well. So look out for tickets for that coming very soon. Thank you very much, Hannah.
Thank you. Good.
I'm glad it was. Thank you very much to everybody else for watching and listening. Now let's go start the countdown.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.